Well, that fanfare says it's time to go to the movies with Matt Olien, but these days we probably don't hear that fanfare in many movie theaters. It's mostly streaming at home. Matt Olien joins us to talk about the movies, of course. Always a pleasure, Matt.
Thanks, Doug. Good to be here.
And this week, because there's not much going on in the movie theaters, we thought we'd talk about a recent survey of the North Dakota Film Society, which you participated in. You're a member of the society, and they came up with the top 20 movies, I guess, of all time. First of all, let's get some background here, Matt. What is the North Dakota Film Society?
So a friend of mine named Scotty Nolan, who is not from here originally and moved here, decided to form the North Dakota Film Society about 2 years ago, and he invited people, you know, Greg Carlson's in it, myself, lots of other people that are involved with the Fargo Film Festival or movies in general, filmmakers, and it's pretty neat. I've really enjoyed it. The big thing we do is at the end of the year, we do vote. We vote on our top films of the year and nominations and things like that. So it's kind of like it's like a North Dakota version of the New York Film Critics or something like that, or the Oscars. And Parasite was our Best Picture winner last year, by the way, same as the Oscars. So that was a lot of fun participating in that and kind of going through the nominations. But we hold virtual screenings, things like that. Scotty's very good at lining those kind of things up. He's very good at promoting, like if Greg Carlson has a film review at the High Plains Reader, or I've got a special radio segment coming up with you, Doug, he will always promote these. And also filmmaking, too, like if Greg's got a new film he's making or the documentary that I'm making right now on the Hispanic migration to the Valley years ago in the sugar beet fields, Scotty will promote those, and it'll go out to members of the Film Society and people that like our page as well. So it's been awfully fun. So what Scotty did here recently was he polled all of us to send in our top 10 movies of all time, what we think are the 10 best movies we've ever seen, and then he compiled the votes. And we came up with a top 20 here, and I think we'll go through probably the top 10, right, Doug?
That's right. And the number one movie was 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Yeah, that didn't surprise me that it ended up number one. That is not even my favorite Kubrick film. The production design on it is phenomenal, as you know, Doug. It's still jaw-dropping to watch what they achieved with those models. The film is kind of cold, though. I find the film a little bit cold. I you know, it's not my favorite Kubrick film. Certainly, I can see a lot of people voting for it. It was not in my top 10, but certainly a worthy choice is number one.
Well, I thought it was a great movie. I'd put it on my top 10, maybe. You didn't put it on yours, though. But number two was Citizen Kane, and that was on your list as number three.
It was my number three. I still think it's a phenomenal motion picture. I've met a lot of people over the years that think it's overrated. The camera choreography in this movie is so stunning, Doug, to this day. The way Wells directed these scenes, and not least of all is Wells' lead performance as Kane. He ages through the film. I thought the old age makeup was very good for the time. It's a phenomenal piece of acting by Wells, and I think this film still holds up remarkably well.
Number three wasn't on your list, and I was a little surprised that it wasn't, Casablanca.
It's in my second 10. I love the film. It's a great film. Maybe not as visually inventive as Citizen Kane, but there's a great line about every 30 seconds. It's amazing.
How about Vertigo?
You know, that's one that's the critical reputation of Hitchcock's Vertigo has climbed over the years. It's not my favorite Hitchcock movie. But it's certainly intricate, well done. The score is amazing. It's a creepy film. It's a very downbeat Hitchcock film. I like North by Northwest a little bit better, but Vertigo is really starting to climb up on like critics' lists in the last 10 or 20 years.
Well, that was number four on the North Dakota Film Society list. Number five was high on your list, The Godfather.
That's my number two. I still think Godfather Part One. When you start watching that movie, Doug, no matter what scene you pick it up in, it's hard not to watch it, isn't it? You just get sucked back in to this spider web of this family drama going on. The performance level, especially Brando and Pacino, are top flight. It's really a film that kind of changed me because I begged my dad to watch it when it finally came on television. And he decided I was old enough I could finally see it.
Okay. Number six, Pulp Fiction.
an important film. Not my favorite Tarantino film, but certainly a film that changed movie making in the 90s because of the plot structure, because of what became known as screwball violence, which is almost a genre invented by Quentin Tarantino. So certainly an important movie and a film that really launched him on his career.
Well, Seven was Apocalypse Now, and that was one of many films built around the Vietnam War. Of course, this also drew on the Joseph Conrad novel, but it's a big film. Wasn't on your list, though.
No, not quite. I like The Deer Hunter a little better. Those are my two top Vietnam films. Deer Hunter affected me more as a kid when I saw it. Apocalypse took me a couple different viewings to really kind of love it as much as I do now. The Brando characterization at the end doesn't always work for me because he was so overweight, as you know, Doug, when he showed up for shooting and he's supposed to play this Green Beret. But the visuals, that great Ride of the Valkyries sequence where they're bombing that North Vietnamese village, just phenomenal filmmaking.
Well, The Tree of Life is number 8 on the North Dakota Film Society list. I don't think it was very high in your opinion, however.
I think it's the most overrated movie of the last 10 years. I think Terrence Malick has difficulty telling any kind of cohesive story. I don't like the film at all, but I know a lot of my friends like it, and we'll just have to agree to disagree.
I wasn't surprised by number 9. It's such a big deal still. Star Wars, 1977, number 1.
Yeah, not surprising it made the top 10 list of all the people in the Film Society. As you know, I'm not a Star Wars guy. It never quite clicked with me. I don't know why to this day. I was 12 years old when that movie came out. I should have been in the wheelhouse to be a huge fan, but I was already kind of graduating to films like Network and The Deer Hunter by then. But most people I know love the film. I like it, don't love it.
Well, The Wizard of Oz rounded out the top 10, and that's a lot of people would put that on their top 10 list, but you didn't.
I didn't, but it's a great film. It's you know, everybody can sing every song in that movie. Judy Garland's performance is really great, too. It's always not really been talked about how great her performance is in that movie. And the supporting performances, Ray Bolger, Frank Morgan, everybody. And I was almost 14 when I realized that when they get to Oz, it goes to color because we had a black and white television set till then.
We did too. Well, let's end this with your number one film, your personal top 10, number one, The Godfather Part Two. You alluded to this.
Yeah, and that came in at number 18 for the group. I think it's the best American movie ever made and maybe the best movie ever made about America, Doug. It's really that immigrant experience of Vito Corleone, coupled with the Lake Tahoe, Nevada sequences with Al Pacino as Michael. It's more of an epic than the first film, but you could get 100 people in a room that are Godfather fans, and 50 would say Part 1 is better, and 50 would say Part 2 is better. It's like splitting hairs.
Okay, your personal top 10, The Godfather Part 2, The Godfather, Citizen Kane, Lawrence of Arabia, If, Bonnie and Clyde, Death in Venice, Day for Night, The Deer Hunter, and The Third Man. Now, this week's Oscar question relates to your list. Matt, in your list of movies, which one was most overlooked in its Academy Award year?
I would say If, the British film from 1968.
Well, you better explain it a little bit to people, too, because I hardly remember If.
It's Malcolm McDowell's first movie, and it's about a British boys' school, all British boys' school, and it is a jaw-dropping movie to watch. It's so interesting. It goes back and forth from black and white to color. The ending of the film is shocking, as there's a school shooting that happens at the end. It's really kind of the writing on the wall of the late 60s. It's a film I urge people to see, and the title is based on the Kipling poem, If.
All right. We've been to the movies with Matt O'Lee.